And I want to just real quick give you a couple just quick announcements, and we're going to jump right into the message this morning. So if you want, you can go ahead and grab your message notes inside your worship guide. And as you're doing that, actually grab your cell phone if you would, because I want to give you a save the day that's real important for us. Coming up on July the 14th, everybody say July the 14th. Is our serve day, and we'll be meeting here at 9 a.m. on that particular day. And this is something we do every year as a church, church-wide serve day. And we may have a couple churches joining us again this year. But last year, we had several hundred people, man, join with us, you guys. And again, I think we had a church, another organization that was with us. And so we're going to do up to around 20 different projects in our city. And the cool thing about serve day is it's not just us. There's literally, right now, I think the last count was over 600 churches across the country that we're in relationship with ARC and the Grow Network that is also taking this day in their cities across America. I think it's pretty cool to know that across the country and even actually parts of the world that everybody's taking the opportunity to embark on this serve day. And so I want to encourage you. It's an incredible day for us. It's also mom and dad. It's an amazing opportunity for you to bring your kids. I know for Bethany and I, it's a joy for us to get our kids just on the inside of just what it means to serve and impact. So we'll have around 20 or so different projects that's happening around the city, and you won't want to miss it. So we'll tell you how you can sign up here in the next couple weeks, but I at least wanted to give you that date, put it out before you today, and so you can have that. And then also this Friday, we have our missions team that is heading out. They're flying out to Cambodia and Thailand. There they are. And yeah, come on, man. And we're thankful for them, and they are excited. And so all four of them are going out. Corey Nichols, who has ministered here before, they'll actually be back with us in mid-July, Destiny Rescue, to share, but is going to be leading this trip with these guys. And so they'll be visiting our Elevate City home in Cambodia, but then also doing some great ministry in Cambodia and Thailand. And it's just, man, we have a vision here at Elevate City, man, to make sure that, yes, we're doing our responsibility right here at home. That's why we do Serve Day, and it's why we have Adopt-A-Block and outreaches that happen every week in our church, but also our nation. But how many know it's important that we impact the world and allow teams and people to go? And so it's an amazing opportunity for these guys. So I just want to ask you, be praying for them. They fly out this Friday, and I just want to make sure as a church we cover them, pray for them. In second service today, I'm actually going to bring them up, and we're going to take some time just to pray over them as well. But I want you to see their good-looking faces, and so you can have a face with the team that's going, and just to be praying for them. Amen. Amen. All right, well, we're going to jump in the message here this morning, and I want to begin in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, and this is a message that has just really been fresh in a lot of ways, but something that I think is very important. I want to talk really on the subject of spiritual authority and spiritual warfare, and I'm going to, if that terminology is even new to you, I'm going to help you understand what warfare is. But before we get into that, I want to just kind of lay a little bit of a foundation here. It says this, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. How many know it's real important that you know where you're going? How many know if you've ever been, like, maybe in the middle of the night where you're trying to get up, and whether you got to get a drink of water, go to the restroom, whatever it is that you got to do, and if the lights aren't on, how many know you could stumble a little bit? And so we need to know, we need to have vision for where we are going. And I love this verse because it's God's desire for you and I to have vision, that we have personal vision, that we understand our why. People lose their way when they lose their why. And for some people, they don't even know their why. That's why our growth track exists, to help people understand their giftings and to live it out for the glory of God and to be able to jump in and understand purpose for their life as well. And so vision is important, but it's also important to have vision for our church. It's important that we know together where we're going and what we're trying to accomplish, and that we're just not trying to have a Sunday morning service and then call it a day. Are you with me? That there's, everybody say there's more to it. Yeah, so there's more to it, what God has for us. And here's what I know, that when you are trying to move forward in vision, that you can't just aim at anything. You have to aim at the right thing. And you have to aim at what God has for you. And so I believe God's vision, and we believe this as a church because it's who we are, and we've just taken what God has given as our vision. I believe there's four things that he has called us to as a church. And first of all, it's that we see lost people saved. This isn't in your notes, but I just want to give this to you. I'm just trying to lay a little bit of a foundation for where we're going. How many know God cares about his lost kids? And if God cares about his lost kids, we ought to care about his lost kids. Amen. Can I hear a better amen? All right? And so he wants to see lost people saved. And man, if that's valuable to God, it better be valuable and important to us. And then he doesn't want them just to stay in that place. He wants to move them from being at a saved place to save people being pastored. He wants them to grow. He wants them to figure out, man, that the issues that are in our life and to work those things out. And then he wants to see those pastor people trained, see them trained up to discover what it is that God has for them to do. And then lastly, he wants to see trained people mobilized and to be sent to do what he has called them to do. It's not enough, again, just to sit in a chair on a Sunday morning, but God has a plan, he's got a purpose, he's got a destiny on the inside of each one of us. Amen? And so here's what it means for us. And to see lost people saved, these are the four things in how we say it at Elevate City, that we want to see people know God. We want to see people come into an authentic relationship with Jesus and know him personally. That's our vision here at our church, as well as seeing those people find freedom. A lot of people get stuck. A lot of Christians in the world just get stuck at just the knowing God part, but never working out the issues within our lives, that maybe the sin or the addictions, whatever. God desires to bring freedom in our life. And then he wants to take us from a place of freedom to discovering purpose. That again, that you discover why he placed you on this earth. How many know finding out your why is extremely important? Amen? And then living out and going to make a difference. So would you say this with me? Everybody say, know God, find freedom, discover purpose, make a difference. And so here's our prayer for you out of Ephesians 1:17 through 19. This is really where this comes from. And it says, I ask the God of our Master, Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning. Here it is. In knowing him personally, there's the first one, that your eyes would be focused and clear, all right, that you would experience the freedom and all that God has so that you can see exactly what it is he's calling you to do. That you're figuring out, there's a third thing, your purpose, and then grasping the immensity of this glorious way of life that he has for you, that you go make a difference with your life. And so, here's what I want to say. How many know, we can get really excited about vision and get excited about change in the world, but it doesn't come without a fight. It doesn't come without a price to be paid. And a lot of times that I think sometimes we can get real comfortable in church world today, and especially in the modern American church, and just, man, we just want to live a life of comfortability. I'm just telling you, man, I've never read that in the Bible. Where life is just supposed to be easy all the time. Because anybody that chooses to want to make a difference, there's always going to be a fight for it. If you want to be somebody that's effective and living on the edge of what God has called you to do, expect resistance. But if you just want to be Sunday Christian, that's it, then the enemy's fine with that. But I'm just here to challenge you, and I will always challenge you, that there is more to this journey. There is more to the call of God. And I'm telling you, no matter what's happening in your life, that God is greater. And I just feel like somebody even here this morning needs to be reminded that God is greater. No matter what you're facing today, that our God is greater than anything that we're facing. Can you say a good amen? And so I believe this, that it comes with a fight. And so when I was just in prayer this week, and really over the last few weeks, because I've been just kind of going through my own things as well and just seeking God, I really felt that I need to help prepare us and what it means to prepare you for spiritual war. And I'm going to allude to a little bit more of what that means, because we are in a spiritual fight. This is a very spiritual experience that you are having. You have a physical body, but you're actually having a spiritual experience. We're made up of spirit, soul, and body. And so I believe this, that it's important to recognize why you're in the condition that you're in. And so I'm going to give you a couple more things first, and then we're going to get right into your notes. I've got a lot of notes for you to take today. So if you're that kind of person and you like taking notes, today's your day, all right? You'll like today, all right? But it's because I want to help equip you, and I want to try to accomplish a lot in a little time that I have with you, okay? But I think there's three reasons why you and I get in the condition that we're in. One is because of what you did to yourself. How many know a lot of times that it's not the devil's fault, that we are the result of our own choices? And I think the devil gets a lot of blame. He should, but there's a lot of things that are our choices that we make. And so those are sin issues sometimes that we have. And what is sin? Sin literally just means to miss the mark. Here's the second reason why I know that we get into the condition that we're in too, is because of what someone else did to you. It's a true experience that all of us can have, that we've been hurt by somebody else or we've been wounded. And so the enemy would love to lie to you and I to keep us where we're at. So sin issues and relational hurts. And let me just say this, why this is so important. I'm so thankful for a church that believes in small groups, that we're not just about them, we're of them. And allowing people to work out these kind of issues in our life. That's why we need honesty. Small groups, they've already happened this past week. Jump in at any time. But it's real people who have real issues. Is there anybody in here to me this morning that's a real person that has some real issues? All right? And so that's me. All right? I'll wave my hand because I know I got issues. All right? And just to be reminded, we all got them. All right? But then here's the third reason why we're in the condition that we're in. And that is because the devil has a plan for you. And that is spiritual warfare that I'm going to talk to you about this morning and what I want to make you aware of. And so what you did to yourself, what someone else did to you, is things that you can work out within, man, your relationships, small groups. That's why it's so important. But I want to help set you up with a strategy how to overcome the enemy today. And I believe it's important, again, that we understand that we are in a very spiritual fight. The Bible says in Acts 10, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. So here's one thing I want you and I to understand as I just kind of teach this. Today's going to be kind of a teach, maybe a little preach, but probably more teach, that you and I really are influenced by the demonic world that is. And that is out there today. It's interesting to me that more than half of Christians today don't believe in a literal devil. They believe it's a symbol of darkness, but not a being. You will see the devil is very real, and he's working against us. And here's what I've learned, too, as a church, that anytime we set out to do something significant for God, we are always met with resistance. Why? Because the enemy wants to keep us back and doesn't want us to advance God's kingdom in the earth. He doesn't like it that people are being saved and lives are being changed and transformed by the power of God. Trust me, Satan's not just taking a back seat, eating some popcorn and enjoying this. He's doing everything he can to take us out. Everybody say this is a real fight. All right, it's a real fight. You know, one of the great honors I have is coaching church planters, guys that are getting ready to start churches and guys that are in their first few years of church planting. And some of the questions that they'll ask me is, man, what's the latest, greatest kind of system? What's working well for you? And I kind of laugh sometimes at the guys that are kind of just starting out, and I get it, but I said, I don't want to talk about that. What I want to talk about is, what are you doing to win the war in the spirit in your city first? Because I'm telling you, systems and lights and worship, all of that means nothing if you do not have the presence of God abiding in your services. Come on, in your small groups and everything that you do. We need the presence of God. Without it, we might as well pack up and go home. Are you with me? And so I've challenged them that we must continue to win the war in the spirit, because Satan is relentless in his attacks against you and I and our families. So we must understand, and we must get hip to the understanding that he's constantly working. Now, I'm going to tell you this because I think this is important. For me personally, many years ago, it'll be 10 years ago in December, that, man, I had a very spiritual warfare moment that took place in my life. For those that know my story, for those that don't, but I'll share some of it again, that I was plagued with, man, just an incredible, horrible sickness. I'll never forget, it was after Thanksgiving of 2008. My family and everybody came over, but afterwards, I just wasn't feeling too good. When, not too long after that, I end up in the hospital, and I'm in a coma. But before I get into the coma, I get in the ER with Bethany, my in-laws, and the doctor said, this has the potential to be one of the most wicked things we've ever seen. And I thought, well, brother, thank you for that encouragement, ER doctor. Glory to God. And honestly, that word, and when he said it to me and he walked out, I don't think he realized what he said. And I looked at Bethany, and I said, did you hear what he said? And she said, I sure did. And it wasn't 48 hours later, there I was, fighting for my life in a coma. My family, I'm thankful for my wife and my family that knows how to pray, but I was also thankful that I wasn't doing life alone and had a church family that was praying for me. Man, they held prayer meetings and believed in God for me. But we knew that this was a spiritual attack. I was fine before this, but this was a demonic attack of the enemy trying to take me out. And we knew this wasn't coincidence. We knew this was spiritual. And I'll never forget when I came out of the coma, Christmas 2008, on my own and breathing on my own off life support. And as I was doing that on my own, man, I heard the devil speak something to me. And he said, if God loves you so much, then why did he allow you to go through this? And I thought, ooh, there I'm sitting in my hospital bed, kind of drowsy, but I heard that. And I said, I don't know, devil, but here's what I know. My God is good. My God is loving. My God is a healer. My God is strong. And right there, I could barely lift my hands, but right there in my bed, lifted my hands because I heard the devil say, well, just curse him and be done. And I said, oh, no, I'm going to worship God until I get up out of this room and walk again because I know my God is good and he is a healer. That's who my God is. I'm not going to get lost in the what ifs and all the questions. I'm just going to stay pointed in who I know and who I know his character to be, and that is he is good. But what happened months before that was spiritual. And this isn't a story I've really told our church before. And I really felt led, I was talking to Bethany about this, really felt led that I share this part of my story. I was actually doing that whole year a study in the book of Job. Yeah, praise God for that. And so little did I know what was ahead. And by no means do I claim that I had a Job type of experience, but good Lord. And I'll never forget one night, two different occasions this happened to me. And one night, Beth and I were asleep, and I felt, man, just a heaviness on me when I went to bed that night. And then I heard this voice say, I'm taking you out. This was months before this happened. And I heard it again, and fear just gripped my heart. Bethany was sleeping, and so I got up out of my bed, and I knew what that meant. That meant it's time to go to war. It's time to pray, not just lay there and listen to that thing talk to me. So I closed the door because I knew that I was about to get my prayer on and let the devil know who's boss. And so I got out there, and I rebuked the spirit of death that was trying to overcome me. And I said, you spirit of death, you have no voice in my life. You have no authority in my life. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I break your power this day in Jesus' name. And I begin to quote some of the scriptures of the Word of God. That's a warfare type prayer that I'm gonna give you an example of a warfare type prayer at the end of this service today. And you don't have to be slobbering and spitting and screaming and yelling. Just know who your authority is. And that's in Jesus. And that happened another time when I was driving, when the enemy visited me again right there in my car, said, I'm taking this car out. I mean, just fear, death trying to overwhelm me. And then the scripture popped up in my spirit, with long life, he will satisfy me. And I began to tell the enemy, and I told him, man, he is defeated, and that life is going to be my portion and what God has for me. You can call it coincidence. You can call whatever you want it to be. But I am convinced that there is a devil in hell who wants to wage war against you and me. And I want to teach you this morning, Elevate City Church, how to confront the enemy. Are you ready to get in this with me this morning? Come on, if you're ready, shout, I'm ready. All right, let's go then. Three things you need to know. Jot it down. We're going to get moving here. You need to know, first of all, that the devil is real. He is real. He's not some figure just with a costume and two horns and a pitchfork and fangs. That's not who he is. He's real. All right? When you read in your Bibles, there's three angels that were named, Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. And you can go read in the books of Isaiah and Ezekiel, and it gives you greater detail on who Lucifer was. But Lucifer was a worship leader in heaven, and he wanted to climb higher than really, become higher than who God was. And in a moment's time, we're going to read this verse in a minute, man, God just kicked his butt out of heaven. Because he wanted to ascend higher than who God was. And so he gets kicked out of heaven. One third of the angels go with him. And so the devil and his demons were cast to the earth. Let's read this in Revelation 12. It says, then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. Boy, I really, really, you may want to underline, circle this next part of this verse. But he, I like this, was not strong enough. Did you get that? Would you say it with me? But he was not strong enough. And they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads, look at this, the world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. So we know this as his fallen angels are in the earth. And the purpose of the devil and his demons is to keep God's plan from happening in your life. All right? That's the purpose of the enemy. And here's the second thing that you need to understand about the devil is that he wants to destroy you. He wants to take you out. The enemy and his demons are actively trying to take us out. And you need to understand the bottom line. I really don't care the belief. The belief is understanding that you have an enemy that's trying to take you out, that's opposing you. Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, the thief, Satan, has come only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I, Jesus said, have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. 1 Peter 5 says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion and looking for someone to devour. Resist him. The problem is a lot of Christians in the world don't know how to resist him. Resist him, Scripture says, standing firm in the faith. I personally believe this, that the enemy is working harder to destroy you and I than we are to keep it from happening. I believe that. Which is why we need to have an awareness. We need to be taught what I'm teaching this morning to help us understand the spiritual war that is at hand. Are you with me? I believe this too, that if we could see the war that's taking place currently right now in the heavenlies, you and I would pray more. And I think we would live differently if we could really see it, because it's going on right now. It's happening right now. And some say, I just don't believe it. That's fine, but it doesn't change the fact that it's happening. Yeah, it doesn't change that. So let me say this too, because I love you and I'm for you. Let me just pastor you for a minute and say this, that it's also why you have to be careful of being involved with things that some may call harmless. You need to be careful of music and things that you're listening to, movies in which you're watching. The Bible says this, says it the best in Ephesians 5, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. And so I really don't know where you stand on different issues, but I would just say this, that there's a line somewhere, and I want to be as far as away from the line or the edge of darkness that I possibly can. And I don't have time to play around with darkness. Man, I want to be away from that and pursuing everything that God has. And so I want to just give that to you this morning, because we need to heighten our awareness to this as well. Amen? Here's the other thing about you need to understand about the enemy is that the devil responds to a higher authority. You need to understand that the devil and his demons do have authority. They have authority to do what they do. And I would kind of say it this way. Think of it in a military sense, that they answer to anything that outranks them, all right? But they also laugh at anything that's under their rank. Story in your Bibles in Acts chapter 19 is the story of the seven sons of Sceva. These were some guys that were trying to cast out an evil spirit in a man, and the evil spirit actually talked back and said, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who are you? How many know that would be a humbling day? Yeah, when the devil doesn't even recognize your authority. In Ephesians 6, it says it this way. I'm going to talk to you more about what that means in a second. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on God's armor so that you will be able, here we go, to stand firm. Look at this, against all of the strategies of the devil. In other words, he is doing everything he can to strategize to take you out, to prey upon your weakness and my weakness to destroy us. All right, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. In other words, this isn't a people problem. All right, this is a spiritual war that we're in. But against, look at this, evil rulers and authorities. You see that? Of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. All right, hey, I just want to remind you, this is going to get real good in a minute, all right? I know you're thinking, man, this got heavy. But hey, there's good news, all right? We always win. Never forget that, all right? But understand this, that Yes, the enemy has authority, but guess what? You and I have access to a greater authority, and his name is Jesus. Man, can the church shout the name of Jesus this morning? Yeah. Man, there's power in that name. There's victory in that name. Come on. There's healing in that name today. Whatever you need, there is power and victory in the name of Jesus. Amen? I love 1 John 4:4. What a great reminder. The one who is in you, the one, Jesus being the one who is in you, is greater than the devil that's loose in this world today. You are greater because God is greater. And they respond, listen to me, the enemy responds to authority. And you need to know this morning where your authority lies. How many have ever, here's what I want you to do. Imagine with me this morning. Imagine with me, you tried to, after church this morning, you drove on Coldwater Road, and you tried to pull somebody over with no sirens, no badge, no gun. And how many know, if you pulled them over and you got out to the window, they're going to think you're crazy. They will probably call the real cops and make sure you're arrested, right? But how many know if you pulled up behind somebody to pull them over with sirens and a badge and a gun, they're looking at you out the window, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, all right? Why? Because you've been given authority to do that. So the question is, where does the authority come from? Three things I want to give you that the enemy has to respond to. Notice I said has to. All right, and this is part of your spiritual authority that I want you to get on the inside of you today. That the highest authority is the name of Jesus. The name, come on, above every name. The name of Jesus. I love this verse in Luke 10. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Jesus replied, I saw Satan. Hey guys, long before you experienced this, I saw him. I saw him fall like lightning from heaven. Look what Jesus said here. He said, I've given you authority. Everybody say, I have authority. To trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. How many have ever seen lightning? How many know it's quick? I mean, it's just quick. That's what happened in heaven when Lucifer tried to elevate himself above God. It was that, I mean, it wasn't even a thought. I mean, it was just, the Bible said he felt like lightning. It was, I mean, it was, I don't know if that had the sound effect like that in heaven, but I'm sure it was a lot cooler. But it was that quick. Are you with me? I mean, it was just like, bam. And you need to understand something. Contrary to the world's belief, these aren't like some two great superpowers duking it out. Listen to me. The devil doesn't even compare to the power of our God, everybody. And you and I need to realize we don't need to sit back and get smacked in the face and stay on the defense. No, we have a God who's offensive in his heart and his mind for his people in order to advance the kingdom of God in the earth today. That's a great place to say amen. In Philippians 2, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. If everything bows to that name, then baby, say that name. The authority of the name of Jesus. If you're a police officer, it's the city of Fort Wayne. It's the authority that they carry. The authority of the Word of God is the next one. Jot that down. This is powerful. In your Bible, in the chapters of Matthew 4 and Luke 4, they're parallel passages that talk about when Jesus was tempted. And his response every time was the written Word of God. The Bible carries authority. And I'm encouraging us, church, we've got to move from beyond Sunday experience to experiencing what we have on a Sunday with us through the week. What am I saying? I'm saying this, that we need to be self-feeders. We need to learn how to feed our own spirit. We need to learn how to pray. We need to learn how to open up our Bibles and get a hold of God. We need to learn how to feed on God and know that He is with you wherever you are going. Because we are the church. God doesn't, He doesn't exist in a building. He exists in you and me. Amen? Are you with me? So we need to learn that. It's important that you know how to respond in those moments and get the Word of God on the inside of you. I still love breaking out the old B-I-B-L-E. Come on. I still got, the actual Bible, all right? I know we use all this electronic stuff, and I do too from time to time, but it's still good and healthy, I think, just to just break that bad boy back open. You know what I'm saying? And get in it. Hebrews 4:12 says, look at this, for the word of God is alive. Everybody say it's alive. And everybody say it's active. Sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And here's the other thing that the enemy, Satan, has to respond to. I love this. The authority of the blood and the cross. I don't know about you, but man, am I thankful for the price that Christ paid on that cross over 2,000 years ago for us. Is anybody thankful for that? Amen. Revelation 12 says, and they defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. So when you're praying, use the name of Jesus. Speak the word of God. And thank God for the power of the finished work of Jesus. And again, I'm going to give you an example of this in a few minutes here. But the devil responds to a higher authority. Not slobbering and screaming and spitting. He responds. He's looking for the authority. He's looking for the badge. All right? And so how do we do this? Because this is a question I get often. So I'm going to help you walk this out. So how do we do this? How do we walk out this spiritual war? Jesus said this in Matthew 10:1. He called his 12 disciples and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. God has given you and I as believers the authority to not just overcome and confront the things in our life, but also to stand with other people and see the power of the enemy broken off the lives of other people. That excites me because I know that, man, I'm called to help and to minister to the lives of other people. Can I tell you something cool about Jesus and his ministry? You ready for this one? One third of Jesus' ministry was casting out evil spirits. Yeah, put that in your pipe and take a toke. So you mean ministry needs to be happening with that? Absolutely. If it's a ministry like Jesus. No, it's quiet. That's okay. Romans 8 says, now in all these things, we are more, everybody say we are more than conquerors. Through him who loved us, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now let me get real practical in the last couple minutes here. Because I want, listen, and I understand, man, I feel like this is a lot in one service, but I feel like you may need to go back and listen to this message. But for some of us, listen, whatever is concerning to you is concerning to God. And let me say it this way, whatever is concerning to you is spiritual. For some of us, man, it's like we are perplexed by the issues of life. For some, we're struggling with sleep. For some, we're struggling getting peace again. I'm telling you, it's spiritual. There's a lot more spiritual activity, all right, that's happening than you realize, all right? I'm not saying now everything's spiritual, but most of everything is spiritual, all right? You understand what I'm saying? And so you need to understand and take the importance that what is happening to me, most likely, if it's concerning me, it's spiritual. All right? Does that make sense? I hope it does. I hope I'm helping a few of you here today. So here's a few steps that I think is going to help us overcome, walk this out, and be able to overcome in the place of warfare. First of all, you've got to submit yourself to God. Totally. Totally. Listen to me, the policeman's authority is only as strong as his relationship to the city government that he has. All right, so let me say it this way for the believer, that your ability to do this in your own life and for others is only as strong as your relationship with God. That's so good, I'm going to say it again. Your ability to do this in your own life and for others is only as strong as your relationship with God. When I hear of people being sick in their bodies, when I hear of freak things going on, and listen, over the last 2 months, it has been intense, not just for me, but families, not just even here, but even pastors in some churches I've been talking to, there is a spiritual war, gang, that is at hand, and we must win the war in the spirit. And we must learn how to respond the right way. Not just, well, yeah, they're sick again. Jeez, by golly, they just keep on going in. Well, there might be something spiritual that's taking place, and somebody's got to stand in the gap and take authority and say, enough's enough, devil. Enough's enough. Our God is a healer, and we break the power of whatever this is in Jesus' name. Listen, you don't have to get weird with it. You don't have to get spooky with it, but there's power in the name, and when he says use it, baby, I'm using it. I'm not going to stand back and wait and see, well, what else happens? No, ain't got time to see what else happens. I'm so glad my family 10 years ago said, boy, whoo, man, I just hope he pulls through. Good Lord, I wouldn't be here with that mentality, because it was through the place of prayer where my healing was delivered and where I was set free and I came out of that coma. It was only through God. And my doctors, by the way, at the end of it all, he said, son, that was one of the most wicked things I've ever seen, but the way you came out of that, man, somebody up there must really love you. You better believe that, doctor, because his hand's on my life just like his hand's on your life. And you need to understand this is real, folks. This is not to put fear in anybody today. I don't want it to come across that way. If it's come across the way, I'm not doing my job today. What I'm trying to come across with is the authority of the Word of God and who Jesus Christ is in your life, and to recognize for some of the things that you've been wrestling with for so long that God wants to see these things broken off your life once and forever. And he can do it. Do you believe he can? James 4 says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Man, God exploded this verse, man, just all up in my face years ago. Said, you've been trying to overcome wrong. I said, what? And he said, yeah. He said, when I struggled with pornography for years, man, I was constantly trying to resist the devil first. But God said, man, you got it wrong. And as I was getting help through that process and getting counseling and therapy, man, God used my counselor and his word to set me free and bring healing into my life. God said, you got it wrong. You've got to first submit to me, then resist. So, Kyle, all you've been doing is resisting in your own power. No wonder you're miserable. Submit to me and keep on submitting. Submit to me and keep on coming back to me. And then resist. And I'm telling you, it's got a lot easier as I've learned God's play that he's run for us. He's drawn up the play. We just got to run it. Are you with me? Live your life totally submitted. And just say, God, every day, this is part of my prayer. God, I just give myself again to you today. My life is not my own. However you want to use me today, you can use me. Here's a crucial one. Number two, you got to get this. You got to close any open doors. Close any open doors. So what are you talking about, Pastor? Let me help you. 2 Corinthians says this, I also forgive what I have forgiven. If there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that, look at this, Satan might not outwit us. For we are not unaware of his schemes. Again, the enemy's trying to draft up a specific plan to take you out. Notice in a few different scriptures we've read how he is putting together schematics and strategies against you and me. He's working overtime to try to take you and I out. And so this morning, here's what this verse is saying. If you're a believer and you're harboring unforgiveness, you're leaving a door open to the enemy. Let me read it this way. Ephesians 4 says, in your anger do not sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. That word foothold is also in the Greek the word place. Give him no place. Here's what this means. In other words, if you don't deal with your anger properly, you're leaving an open door for the enemy to come in. And I'm saying we've got to close the doors so that the enemy doesn't come in. If I'm struggling with unforgiveness or bitterness in my life, if I'm struggling with anger or addiction, it's time to get the help that we need from God and go to people, because that's the principle of bringing healing in your life, James 5:16. And it's time for some of us, the reason why the enemy keeps getting in, keeps having entrance into our lives, keeps having a word, keeps struggling, is because we keep the doors open. And God is saying, I want you to shut the door. But you don't shut the door, he shuts the door. You've just got to submit to him. Submit to God, then resist. Are you with me, church? Closing the door can be done by a few ways. Let me give it to you, not in your notes. By obeying God's word. By submitting your life to the work of the Holy Spirit. By maintaining health. We're going to pray. And that is this, confront your enemy daily. You need to add this as a part of your prayer life. It has to be a part. We have communion with God, but there's also a time to confront the devil. It's a confrontation with him. Prayer is both of these things. Spend time daily in prayer, loving, but then also talking to the Lord, but then confronting the enemy. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 10, for though we live in the world, look at this, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Listen, every lie that the devil has tried to tell you, you speak truth. Truth is going to overcome that lie. Man, if you're sick in your body today, declare Isaiah 53:5, that by his stripes I am healed. I think sometimes we give the devil too much information with our words. I've heard people say things like, well, man, I'm just always going to struggle with this. And if that's your faith statement, guess what the enemy's listening to? That. I was talking when we had a great men's breakfast yesterday. I was talking to a few of our men. We were chatting about this because I've just been thinking about sometimes we just give the enemy ammo. And we start allowing. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 18, death and life are in the power of the tongue. It's why you've got to be careful of what's coming out of your mouth. Because not only can it affect people, but the enemy's listening to it as well. And I'm telling you, man, we have to confront. So would you bow your head? I'm going to give you an example of just warfare prayer, of what this can look like in your own home as you're growing in your faith. And for no matter where you're at this morning, whether you have sickness in your body, whether you're facing an issue, maybe it's depression, anxiety, whatever it is, God has a plan. So Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you that according to the word of God in Isaiah 53:5, that by your stripes, we are healed. That, Lord, according to your words in Philippians, that you give us the kind of peace that surpasses all understanding. That, God, today we declare the power of your blood overcomes every opposition of the enemy. And we declare this morning that, Satan, you have no power, you have no voice, you have no influence in our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. And we declare this morning that we don't fight for victory, but we fight from a place of victory in the name of Jesus, and we are more than conquerors in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we just surrender right now our hearts to you. We surrender our lives completely over to you, and we thank you for the finished work of Christ. Because of what you've done, Lord, it is finished. This, whatever, if it's a healing, if it's anxiety, depression, it's finished in the name of Jesus. And God, we thank you for it. And that's an example of that. Continue to keep your head bowed. And so, Lord, I pray that right now, and we release it as I've spoken that for some of us. It's been weeks, months, even some years in this room that we've been fighting with the same thing over and over again. And I declare freedom is for everybody in this room. All the worship team, come on up quickly. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. That no weapon formed against you will prosper. And I declare today that God is greater. Jesus is stronger. He is stronger. And so, Father, we just submit our hearts right now to you in this place. Would you just stand to your feet right where you're at this morning? Just stay in the spirit of prayer with me. Father, we just surrender right now to you. We call upon you. We call upon you. And we declare how awesome you are and how much we need you. Listen to me this morning with every head bowed. If you're in here and you need a relationship with Jesus, this is your moment right here. I'm telling you, God is in this place. For some men, it's like the enemy's been trying to keep you from God's purpose and plan, but enough's enough today. And if that's you today and you say, man, I need to give my life to Christ, I need to respond, I'm just going to lead you in a prayer right now, and I want you to believe it with everything within you. And just say this, say, Jesus, I give you my heart today. I give you my life. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my past. My life belongs to you. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.